like I said, I was so young and dumb at first that I almost didn't even care about any of that, which was good because, man, I just kept my head down and just worked on what I knew and what I could control instead of what I couldn't control. And
we continue on with our Culture OS series. Been tremendously impressed by our guests and by our host, Rob Pomazak. Rob, this week, another great one. Derek Leonard, the head coach at Rochester High School in Illinois.
Yeah, Derek is a good friend of mine who, when you gave me this opportunity, Keith, I wanted to jump at the chance to get Derek on. He's a 9-time state champion at Rochester High School down in Central Illinois. He might be one of the best offensive minds at any level, college, pro, or high school. His offense is copied and constantly putting out cutting-edge stuff, but behind the scenes, what people don't know is that Derek really runs just a fantastic program from start to finish. So it was really exciting to get him on board, and the hour was well spent, and I'm excited for people to get a listen to it.
Derek Leonard, obviously a great story himself, but of course, part of a legacy with his father, Ken Leonard, who was the head coach at Sacred Heart Griffin. And, you know, I heard somebody say it to me the other day, the old cliche of, I'm my father's son. And, you know, what's unique to see is, I mean, you see the influences of his father, but yet at the same time, Derek's got something that's really uniquely him.
Yeah, he touched on that early on in the conversation, where it was basically he grew up on the football field. He was an intern, a GA, an assistant, and he really cut his teeth in coaching by watching his dad, who, again, Ken Leonard, is one of the winningest coaches in Illinois State high school football history and is just a staple when you think of the Mount Rushmore of high school football coaches in the state of Illinois. Like, Ken and Derek Leonard are certainly on there. And he did touch on that, and it did form a lot of his current philosophies. But then again, through his playing days and then early on as a coach, he talked about how he had to kind of deviate from some of those philosophies and create something that was unique to his area for a program that was relatively new. And you can kind of see where it's gotten him now with Rochester. The community is a football community. They know nothing else. And I would liken it to the Massillons of the Ohio area just because it's synonymous with state championship football.
Great stuff. We certainly are excited to bring this one to our listeners. So guys, make sure you stay tuned at the end for our Winning Edge takeaways and ideas for implementation. Here's Coach Pomazak's interview with Derek Leonard, head coach, Rochester High School. What you see on tape is a direct reflection of what you teach and how you teach. Video is important, but if you don't teach well, you're not going to like what you see on your video. First Down Playbook has been helping coaches teach better for 13 years. It allows you to present installs, playbooks, and practice cards in half the time with NFL quality. Coaching tools like video pairing, a player app, practice schedules, and wristband sheets have made First Down Playbook a program management system with everything in one place. If you're in a position of leadership with your football program, receive a free one-week look at First Down Playbook. Call them at 512-814-6158 or visit them on their website or social media. Mention Coach and Coordinator Podcast or use the coupon code COACH24 to receive a $100 discount off the normal $700 First Down Playbook team membership price. Links and the phone number are in the show notes. As coaches, we know that some of the biggest hurdles to our team's success can come from off the field. Your team needs support to tackle the endless list of expenses, uniforms, training equipment, travel, and more. But raising that money can feel like a full-time job. Thankfully, there's Vertical Raise. Vertical Raise is the premier online fundraising platform using innovative technology to create the easiest and most efficient system available. Raise more money in less time with a local fundraising coach who works with your team every step of the way to customize the ideal fundraiser. With options for online donations, digital discount cards, premium product sales, and even spirit shops, Vertical Raise has top-of-the-line solutions for every fundraising style. To find out more, visit verticalraise.com, and we'll get you connected with an exclusive offer on your first fundraiser.
All right, I'd like to thank my next guest, Coach Derek Leonard from Rochester High School. Coach Leonard is a staple of the Illinois high school football scene, as well as a nationally known coach, high school coach. He's a nine-time state champion, and probably one of the most progressive offensive minds. His offensive teams have broken numerous records almost yearly. Coach, thanks for being on Culture OS with us today.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. No problem at all.
Coach is coming off the IR, had a little surgery, so we appreciate him taking some time, and we're excited to jump in, so we'll get this thing rolling. Coach, my first question, does it get boring winning the state championship so much?
No, it doesn't. You know how it is. We're no different. It's year to year. You know what I mean? You refocus. You know what I mean? It's just, man, I'll say this. Sometimes I probably don't enjoy him as much as I probably did early on, just because you just realize, you get older and you realize, man, it's the next thing, which is good and bad. You know what I mean? You're just on to the next year so quickly. And that's just, I think that's us as coaches. And, you know, it's good when you lose one, because the next after that loss, or, you know, you're on to the next game, or you're on to the next season, you know. And it's no different when you win it. You just seem to just get ready for the next year sometimes. And I try to enjoy it. I try to, man, really, like this year, I really try to take December and kind of relax and enjoy it. But it's even hard, because you're always thinking about the next season. So,
well, and that's why it's so exciting to talk with you. And you and I have talked quite a bit, and I always appreciate your time. And I asked that question kind of tongue in cheek, because you know that, of course, it doesn't get old, but it does probably get more challenging. So if you don't mind, with the success you guys have had, going back to day one, you know, when you first took over the program, what was the end goal? What was the mission, the vision of and purpose for you personally when you took over at Rochester?
Yeah, that's a great question. You sent me a few of these, and that was probably the one I really had to go back and think. I was 23 when I got the job, and I was getting married. I was coming home, and I truly believe I try to give you honest answers. It was truly day to day. You know what I mean? It was, I wanted to be a state champ. Yeah, I wanted to build this program. But at that time when I got here, and I was an assistant coach at Prairie Central. So we played Rochester. I knew Coach Jacobs. So I knew, and obviously lived very close to it growing up. And so I knew a lot about it, but I knew, man, we had 42 kids out my first year. And so just trying to get kids out, trying to have fun, trying to, you know what I mean? It was so day to day at that time. And I think I was just young enough to be dumb enough to not even be able to have to think long ahead. You know, I wanted to be a state champ always, but I didn't even, man, if you would have brought that up, nine state champ, I would have thought, man, I'm just trying to have a winning season and trying to get more kids out. And so, man, it was literally a day-to-day grind of things like, man, how do you get more kids out? How do you have fun? How do you, you know, how do you win games? You know, my first season, we were 3-3 and 6. Right. And then we were 5-5, 5-5. And so, you know, it took a while. I really think it kind of, not thinking about the whole picture sometimes, I think was a positive. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. You know what I mean? I was so, because I think if I would have been looking big picture, which is, I think, kind of opposite of sometimes what people think, but just being honest, I just, like I said, I literally took it day to day. And I think that's what helped it work. That's where I think, you know, just got it to where we're at today, I guess, in the long run. So
I didn't know you were 23 when you took over. That's And that's unbelievably young. But you grew up around the game. For those of you who don't know, the coach's dad is Ken Leonard, one of the all-time winningest high school football coaches in the state of Illinois. And they played each other numerous times in very high-pressure situations. But how did that upbringing and seeing your dad do what he did, how did that influence you when you took over the program and what you wanted to be as a head coach? I find that really such an interesting dynamic.
It was. I tell people, man, it was like being an assistant for, you know, to 20 years, because I really believe I saw the best do it. When we're that young, we coached how we were coached. And That's all I knew. You know, obviously I had some great coaches growing up, basketball, football, baseball, but man, who I really emulated and who I tried to be like was my dad. And I was lucky to be with Brian Hassett over at Prairie Central for 2 years. But really who I, you know, who I took from was my dad. So I got to see everything. Obviously I was on the field with him about every day. You know, I loved being in the office. I loved the X's and O's. I loved everything about that. But I also got to see him come home and be a father. I got to see how he treated his players. I got to see the ups and downs of a lot of great wins and a lot of great losses. And I lived all that. And so I tell people, man, it was literally like, yes, I was 23, but I was like a 20-year assistant, you know. And I think that I was just arrogant enough and confident enough to think that was going to be fine at the age of 23. And I think in a way that helped because, man, I look back now and I've made so many changes and so many things for good and bad. But yeah, I learned everything from him. And it doesn't matter if he was my father. It's, you know, I think that's all of us. You always hear, especially when you're young, you know, how you were coached is usually how you coach, good or bad. You either learn a lot of things that were negative or you learn a lot of things that were good. And I obviously learned from one of the best, and I was blessed, and I was just lucky to be put in that spot, obviously. And obviously, that's why I got the job. I mean, I tell people that all the time. I said it was because my last name was Leonard, and that's probably the only reason at that age. And that was fine, and I understood that at that time. You know, I said, I got to do my own thing and make my own thing. But, man, I know I was lucky and blessed to get that job because of that.
I think you touched on a lot of great things there that I kind of want to dive into. Going back to what you talked about, you know, first of all, not knowing what you didn't know and being almost arrogant enough at that age to at 20 in your 20s, you think you can do anything. You're invincible, right? And taking it day by day. I was thinking about things today, and there's just some days as a head coach where your scope is so short. Like you are just looking at the end of the day and the different things that you have to do from a system standpoint. And then there's times where you're looking, okay, where do we want to be in 6 months? I think that's such a great point. What you talked about is oftentimes we just got to kind of get through those days and build it slowly and kind of build it up. I don't think a lot of people know. And when I did my research on you years ago, when I was looking, I'm like, okay, well, you know, it wasn't always state championships. Like people think they're seeing the other end of the rainbow right now where the program is at. But there were those first couple years where you had to build something. What do you think got you guys over the hump? Like, was there like an aha moment, or was there a moment in there when you were developing it that when, okay, the guys are starting to get it and we're pushing this thing forward?
Yeah, and I saw that one today. And that was a tougher one because I really don't think there was that moment. What I really believe the Lord blessed me with. I had a great quarterback those first three years. And like you said, we were okay. We were average. But man, a kid named Will Lunt, who was until a few years ago, was the all-time leading passer in the state of Illinois. So even though we weren't great, we had fun. We were throwing it around. But he was maybe the greatest leader and kid I've ever been around to this day. And I think God put him there because, man, he was really who I showed as, man, this is what I want this program to be. And then I had a kid named Sean Robinson. And the group after him that came in that graduated 2 years later was kind of my best group up to that point, right? We're getting the numbers up. And, man, we actually lost to Metamore in the semifinals with that group. But we lost on the last play. Probably should have won. And we went for two in the semifinals and didn't make it. And then really probably the greatest team I've ever had, 2010, was that they were so determined to win it and make it up for those guys. And then from there on out, man, it kind of just, it is where we're at today. And anyone who doesn't, I mean, you got to have talent to win. You know what I mean? In the end, there's a lot of great coaches out there who do a lot of great things and haven't won state championships, who haven't done, you know, who haven't even, maybe even had winning seasons before. And I know I go to them and I watch them and they're great coaches. And that's the number one thing is you got to have great talent. I was lucky and blessed enough at the right time to have kind of a wave of good kids come in, and it really changed who we were as a program. Obviously coaches, man, I am blessed. I've had about five guys that were with me since day one. We probably don't get a lot of movement now. And I've had guys that are probably about 80% of our staff's been with me for the last 15 years. And so obviously that's a big moment. You know what I mean? But I think there's so many things to be where we're at. I think so many things had to go the right way. But you make, man, people, man, they've only had football here since 1995. So when I got this job, man, there was about half the people that hated football and still didn't want it. It was kind of an old community of there was that soccer and football thing. And I just came in, like I said, I was dumb enough just to put my head down, try to love everybody and be nice. And I love the soccer coach, and we got along when he's still there to this day. And he's one of the best coaches I know. And we just now it's a town where everybody loves it. Everybody, you know, it's kind of who we are. But man, we still have grass. Our stadium's still old school. We have, you know, there's a lot of things that if I went somewhere else, I would be so worried on some of those things. And it was, like I said, I was so young and dumb at first that I almost didn't even care about any of that, which was good because, man, I just kept my head down and just worked on what I knew and what I could control instead of what I couldn't control. And I think when we get to places and certain coaches, you know, oh, I got to have a new winger. Oh, this feels terrible. Oh, this, you know, it's all the woe is me. And sometimes you just got to focus on one thing. You focus on 10 things, you don't get anything done. You know, you focus on one thing a day and you a lot of times you can get it done. And so I think at a young age, I was dumb enough and intrigued enough to go after it and not have to know that I thought, you know, that it was rough at first. And so
I think I've been fortunate with our program to practice with you guys a few times and even compete in 7-on-7s. And the one thing I notice about your guys' program that I've always appreciated is that, first of all, there's a general belief, like you guys walk on the field, and I don't know if you feel it, but like as an opponent or when we practice together, you can feel the kids' confidence as they walk in, right? And they've got the confidence from the years before, but they also come in and they're extremely bought into what you guys are doing. And they practice like that. And the way that you guys practice is so specific. And the technical and tactical aspects that you've brought, like, it's this perfect combination of your brilliant offensive mind, the great defensive coordinator that you have, and then you've got this community that's built in and you've built up. It's so exciting to be around. I don't know if you even realize it as an outsider looking at it. You can feel it. It's really palpable. As you've had success, right? And sustained success is tough. You mentioned you kind of had to change things. So like, how has the program evolved since, you know, state championship one until this most recent one?
Yeah, man, it's when you're searching for that first one, that is such it's a great goal, and it can also be a curse, right? From the standpoint of, man, those kids want it so bad. They want it for themselves. They want it for the community. They want it for you as coaches. And especially, like I said, in 2009, we came so close, and that was kind of the first group that we really thought, man, we have a chance. And we had worked up 5 years at that point. Well, the next group came in and was probably just as talented. You never think the next group's going to be as talented, but they were. And that was so big. And so once you get that first one, you're so happy, but it's also a relief to a point, and everybody's so excited. And then, I had never been through that. Now it's, man, I don't want to let this down. We can do this again. This group can do it. To where it is today, I would say we still have that, right? These kids still want to be, they believe, like you said, they truly do believe they can do this, they can accomplish it. The one thing I would say is a little bit of I feel bad and a curse is I've had a few great teams, the other teams that haven't won that have gotten to the semis and quarters, and I've probably been just as proud. That team 2 years ago that my dad ended up winning the state championship the year he was retiring.
And the semifinal game, correct?
Yep, and I think God wanted him to win, but man, our kids played. I mean, that we just played our hearts out. It was unbelievable. We were up by 28, and they were just flat out better than us. And we just played, and they beat us right at the end. But that group felt like, man, we failed. You know what I mean? Like, man, we let everyone down. And I probably couldn't be as more proud of a team as I was that group. So you get some of that too. You know, that's obviously it's much better to win than lose, right? Everyone says, oh, well, that's easy to say. You got 9 state championships in it. And I get that. And I understand that very much. But I also feel bad for the kids because, man, it's not easy and it's tough, as we all know. And I, like I said, I was as proud of that group. And so I think in that way, what you have to do as a coach is you really have to, and it sounds so generic and so simple, but you truly have to take it day by day. And you have to, I tell our coaches, I want you just to, I want us to reach each of our players' God-given talent, right? Some of them have more talent than others each year. Some players different. Our job is to help them fill that tank, right? If their tanks, some tanks are higher, have more gas than others, but our job is to fill it and help those kids fill it. And if we do that, we're going to be a great team. And so I've learned to break it down. I've learned to simplify it, not talk about state championships as much. Not focus on that, but focus on the daily. Mm-hmm. Man, this is how these guys became great, right? If you played your God-given talent a lot of times, you're going to win, right? If you don't beat yourselves, you're going to win a lot of games. And so I've learned to be better in that as the years have gone on, I think.
I think that's a really interesting perspective. You know, everybody like sitting on this side of the computer, it's like, yeah, like you're just fighting every day to try to get that first one, you know? And if you're lucky enough to get to one, I distinctly remember not winning it and that bus ride home and just the thought process of like, holy cow, like you got to go back to work and immediately start to try to get back there again, just because it's so close. But then I look at a program like yours that is the expectation is the hardware every single year, and the pressure that your kids must feel to uphold that. And like you say, like these are 16, 17, 18 year old kids who are doing their best, and you have great talent. But I remember watching that game, the semifinal game against your dad, and I can only imagine those conversations that you have with those young men and how to hold their head high. I mean, that's such a unique perspective. I hope the community appreciates that, you know, because oftentimes the community can be pretty tough on those kids. Have you found that the community rallies around everybody and is very supportive, win or lose?
They are, you know, and I think we've worked our way to that. You know what I mean? And you get it's always the 5% that are idiots. There's always that, right? 95% are. And that group was really great because I think people really saw it. Dad, everyone knew how great that group was. And
yeah,
I've lived and I tell people this, man. I said, yes, you know, it took me a few years, but I've obviously been blessed and lucky, really, truly lucky to win some of the championships we've won. But I saw Dad, who I believe is one of the best coaches I've ever been around. He went 20 years without winning that state championship. So I lived that, you know, so many close calls, so many. In 1995, I was a sophomore. We were up 10 with 3 minutes and we lost to Providence. And so, man, you sometimes think, man, am I ever going to get back there? Am I ever, you know, so I try to tell these kids, I said, man, I realize how tough it is. And then Dad finally, you know, he started at Griffin 84 and he won. I think his first one was 2003, 2005, something like that. So, man, 20 years, you know, and
no kidding.
And I lived all those losses, and I tell those guys, I said, man, this is not easy, fellas. And you know, the ball bounces the wrong way and you got a chance of losing sometimes, you know, or just these little things. And so you just got to keep your head down, stay focused and keep striving. And it didn't make, you know, like I said, Dad, obviously he did some things different schematically, but he was the same. You know what I mean? It's funny. And then he pops off 6 out of 10, you know, it's funny how it works, man. You just never know. So,
well, it's like, you got to keep digging, right? You never know when you're going to strike gold and just stay consistent with what you're doing. And once it happens, you know, I do think that once people get a taste of it and get that opportunity to see that it's possible, you know, it is a belief system, right? Like it doesn't become a hope and a wish. It becomes something that's really tangible. And I think that's half the battle is kids actually believing that they're going to be there come Thanksgiving. And obviously your guys do that.
And I would have thought before all this, honestly, I would have thought that's a little bit like it sounds good talk, but I, you know, it's more random. Right. It's year to year. It's truly who you have. But man, looking back at it, there couldn't be anything more true because there's some things I can't explain, like truly. And that's the only way is that these kids in the town and the people and everybody believes we have a chance. And so when you do that, it's amazing. It is so true what you say. And coming into that, I thought, man, it sounds good, right? You know,
it's good coach speak.
Michael Jordan won 6 because they have Michael Jordan, you know, it's like, okay.
Yeah,
they all believe, but you had Michael, you know, and so that's kind of how I always believed was. That sounds good, but now living this and being a part of it and just seeing different teams and styles win, it truly is one of the truest and realest things that there is something real to that.
I've always been interested in the use of technology to make our jobs more effective, so I'm excited to continue sharing modern football technology with you here on the podcast. This innovative system leverages tendencies to improve self-scouting, game planning, and in-game decision-making at the speed of the game. Modern football stands out because it's a battle-tested platform used by teams at all levels, like four-time national champion Bishop Gorman, the five-time California State champion Folsom Bulldogs, six-time Texas State champion Lake Travis, Cal football, and the CFL's Grey Cup champions, the Montreal Alouettes. So book a demo today to see why these teams trust modern football technology. Visit www.teammofo.com/demo and mention Coaching Coordinator Podcast or use the coupon code CC10 to receive 10% off your first year.
I think you have such a unique sample size too to choose from. You know, like you've got 9 different groups, hundreds of different kids with different makeups, different chemistry, and no two team I can imagine was even remotely close to the other, you know? And so to see the differences and see them all get to the same end means has to really be a gratifying and almost unique coaching experience, right?
It is. And that's one thing, you know, I can't speak on is that, yeah, we had to do things differently. That's being at a small public school, just like, you know, hey, your quarterback, sometimes he's going to be a statue, sometimes he's going to be dual threat. Your lineman, sometimes you'll have 5, sometimes you'll be lucky to have 5, right? Sometimes you'll have no tight ends, sometimes you might have 3 or 4. And so, man, you just go through all these processes. And then obviously just the natural talent of each group and then the groups behind them. It's always a work in progress. But in all those things, those kids believe. They were naive enough to think, man, we're good enough in some cases. Man, we can do this. And some of them pulled them off, some of them didn't. But it's amazing what a little bit of that does.
You kind of touched on it right there. I'm curious because a lot of this is philosophy, but there's also the science to what you guys do from a program development, a scheme development. Like, you know, Rochester's doing things that you're seeing all across social media. But when you talk about you have different skill sets every different year, how are you assessing that? And then how do you take that assessment and then start building your scheme with your staff? What does that look like for you guys? Like, can you take me through that?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I'll kind of speak offensively because that's, you know, what I do is kind of the offense. And so, and it's really you have to guess, right? It's a guessing game a lot of times because once you go into the summer, you're thinking, man, we're guys, and especially high school, right? You go to the clinics in the winter, you kind of think about things in the winter, and then the summer's kind of the execution of, does this work or doesn't this work? We're going to practice it, right? I don't like that. We're going to pull that out, or man, that was pretty good. Right? And so you're always guessing and trying, and unlike college, you don't get to recruit your kids in. And I think it all starts, honestly, with the quarterback, and what do you have coming back? What kind of style is he? This year was a unique year for me because, man, our kid that I was going to start and was a heck of an athlete, probably the best player on our team, blew his knee out in late summer in the 7-on-7. And so, man, I had 2 other guys that ended up doing a great job, and really our starter, who's a little 5'6 kid, who's just a tough kid. And kind of that's the first time that it happened to me. And so I think it starts with them. And people always say, oh, you know, you can't be too married to a system, because you got to change your personnel. And I hear people say, well, man, you got to change your, you know, whatever your personnel is, you got to change your offense too. And I think there's a happy marriage in there in between of, yes, you're going to see us do a lot of different things, but I promise you it's going to be off of gaps. Yeah, we're going to run counter power. You know, that's who we are. It's what we do. And that's what we've done for the last 20 years. You're going to see us throw quick game. There's some things that do not leave our program in 20 years. Now, the style in which we do it, how we execute it, what eye candy formations, personnel groups, that's stuff we have to work on through the year. And how do I mesh my personnel to that is tough. And that's tough for everybody, right? Every high school in the state of Illinois has to do the same thing we're doing. And you have to marry your system to your people. And I don't want to do too much. Right. I don't want to do too little. I got to do what I know, right? I can't go, if I don't know it, I can't teach it. I can't teach it to my coaches. If my coaches don't know it, they can't teach it. And so in the end, we're going to do those things. But, man, we're, like I said, from a run game standpoint, I'm just using that because everyone knows that's who we are. We're a gap scheme team. And so it's going to come from that. This year, we probably ran a lot more buck sweep than we ever have. This was probably, you know, we've ran it for about 10 years now. Mm-hmm. That's kind of been our third play, but it's probably I probably ran that the most this year. Why? Because, man, we had the tight end H-backs. We had the kind of the receivers that could smash things down. I had some bigger guys. I liked it with our running backs and receivers off of it. You know what I mean? And so some years I might run that play 30 times a year. I bet we ran it probably 100 times this year, right? And there's so many things that go that way, right? How many times do you throw the ball? 2 years ago, if you saw me, man, we had a big 260-pound quarterback.
I remember him.
And we had some tight ends and fullbacks, and, man, we were probably 75% run. We were downhill, but we still did a lot of the stuff we did. And so, man, it's a great question, and I think it's something we all strive, and I think people struggle with that. But you got to do what you know, but you also got to fit it around your personnel because it is high school and it is, right? And I think I always talk about personnel groups, and like some of us don't have five good linemen, so let alone do we have a tight end. And I think probably more at our level and some of the lower levels, you know, you got to move that tight end to guard, right? Yeah. You got to have five good old linemen, right? And so now I don't have a tight end, so now I got to live in much more 10 personnel. 20 personnel. And so now it's, man, you know, going in that year, I might have one tight end, where some years it's, oh, I got three or four and I got five good linemen, even six. And so that changes your whole philosophy going into a year and how you think. So
I think what I've noticed, what you're talking about is that you're always going to have your standalones, the stuff that you always do, but whether we major in it or minor in it might change based off of your personnel. How are you bringing your staff into that? Is that something that's happening in December and or January? And you're like, hey, here's where I think we are. This is the direction that I'm going to be looking to go. Here's what we're going to study. Or is that a collaborative effort where you guys are sitting down and discussing that over, you know, at the table?
Yeah, no, that's a good one. You know, probably what, and this, I know this is how I do it. What I do is we usually go to a coach, we'd have a coach's dinner and then we'll talk and I'll kind of tell my guys how I see us, what I see from us offensively. And I'll even do it defensively and special teams. I'll kind of say, hey, I think we're going to be a little bit more athletic up front defensively this year. I think we've got to move a little bit more than maybe we did last year. You know, special teams, we got our kicker coming back, man. I think we can really kick it in the end zone. You know, all these things, right? And offensively it's, man, I think we're going to be not as good up front. I think we're going to have some athletes at wide out. So I kind of give them a general view of what we're going to do. Mm. And then, man, we don't meet much from January to late April. We do not meet. Now we'll go to some clinics together and hang out. You know, they'll come and talk football if they're bored in the office, but we don't have any meetings. We don't. And then once late, and I kind of come up, obviously I'm always thinking and working. And so I'm kind of thinking of what we're doing and the direction we're heading. And then kind of late April, May is really when I install for the summer of, hey, this is who we're going to be. And same thing with Steve on defense, Coach Warren on special teams. So I try to give them in December kind of the overview, let them go to clinics, let them learn. I kind of give them that. And then we get together and, you know, we kind of hit it hard in May, I guess. And I'll individually go over with guys. You know, like the running backs, my buddies, the running back coach, I think we're going to use three guys. You know, I think, hey, we kind of got a lightning and a thunder guy. And man, how does that, we really haven't had that before. How do we utilize that down the distance? When do we use them? Do you just rotate them? So I'll try to send those guys, hey, if you want to go to a clinic and kind of, man, find somebody who does that and go, listen, you know, I'll pay for you, man, go check it out if you want. And so that's kind of that. You're always doing it, but that's kind of how our offseason looks, which is a great question because I don't think I've ever really talked about that, you know, but that's really how I do it. And that's kind of what I believe.
One of the questions that I had for you, and this is one I've had for a while, is that, you know, everybody's going to you to see what you guys are doing and the different innovations that you have, your no huddle, the tempo that you're running. This year you ran with, what did you call it, with the slot? 15 yards back. What was
Canada?
Canada, right? Like the Canadian football thing. But where are you going? Like, where are you looking? I'm sure people would be interested to find out, like, is it all coming from your brain? And is it a conglomeration of different things that you're pulling? Or are there certain offenses that you're like, I really like what they're doing. We're going to look at and see how we can make it work over at Rochester.
Yeah. You know, I was lucky to be, and probably people have heard my story with Dad, when Urban Meyer and him and Coach Randy Walker was at Northwestern, I was just getting out of college. So I was really lucky to kind of be at the forefront when all those guys were really starting to put this read zone, read option stuff together with the bubbles and nows. And so there's been a lot of people coming up that I really respect and listen to. You know, obviously my father's number one. Otto Zeman at Riverside Brookfield, everyone, man, he was one of the first guys to kind of go five wide and spread it out. And so there's a lot of people that the guy that I probably watch the most now is, I think, Lincoln Riley, just because him, I think there's now more people are doing the gap scheme stuff out of the spread option. Used to be, man, really zone oriented.
That was
it. And he was, when he was at Oklahoma, he was really starting to do this. And obviously we've always kind of been doing it just because that's who we were. We kind of try to fit it, and it kind of worked. And so he's kind of the one guy that I really watch, and I really, I've actually never met, would love to, but he's kind of the one I try to watch. Otherwise, I try to go to the best coaches. Like, man, I love George Barnett at Iowa, right? I love Coach Ferentz. That's the best O-line guys. If you want to learn about O-line, and I'll listen to him talk about zone. They obviously do a little bit of power stuff, but that's who I always went to. And that's who I love sitting down when he comes and talks as a man. I'll just sit there and listen to him. And because I know he's the best at that. You know, I always thought Pat Fitzgerald, and I still believe this. I think he's just one of the best men.
Yeah.
His program development, and people might laugh, but man, I would stick by him. I mean, what he did and what I saw, what I knew I saw in person, the people that went there that I know, I would always ask him and I'd listen. I'd go up there and watch that, you know. And so really finding those people that are the best at what they do, or not, they don't even have to be the best. They're just a great coach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so trying to, and it doesn't always have to be us, but man, getting those little things and how people practice. And Coach Hill down at Southern, he does a great job. You know what I mean? Going down there with certain stuff, because it's hard nowadays, you know, to truly find what, and especially with high school, college guys, and especially the NFL's like this. I don't care what anyone says. A lot of all that stuff is somewhat similar. Now they're all, you know, it's all a little different.
Yeah.
But how they call the plays, how they, man, it's almost universal. It's weird. Mm-hmm. College isn't quite like that. It's obviously, I think, more diverse, but there's still a bit of that. Where you get into high school, man, it is so diverse. Everybody's calling something different ways and doing things different ways. And so it's hard to match yourself with somebody a lot of times. And you shouldn't do it. That's what I do things so much differently than just from a calling standpoint, right? We just have stupid names that don't, you know, it's not like the whole West Coast sentence, but it's what I know and it's what I've done. And so just trying to find the best people and the people you trust and you know do it great. And that's what I try to do.
One of the things I appreciate about when I've seen you coach and as we've talked is that you don't make it too complicated for the high school mind. You know, like that's one thing that I always appreciate is that while the concepts are definitely involved, they're not complicated for a 15, 16, 17 year old to execute and understand. And the way that you layer it with other tactical advantages like tempo and those types of things and the sets that you use really create at the high school game just a whole lot of trouble for defenses. And I think it always comes down to, you know, it's a high school game and we're going to make sure that we coach our kids up and confuse the other kids. Is that a mistake or is that kind of a foundation for you guys?
No, that's right. I think one of the, and I appreciate those nice words because sometimes I think, oh boy, what am I doing? This is stupid, too much. You know, you always question yourself as a coach, right?
Wait, I thought I was the only one who does
that. No, I promise you, I think that all the time. You know, my dad taught me this a long time ago is whatever I put in, I have to understand, mm-hmm. right? If I understand, I'm a teacher, whether right or wrong, I'm a teacher to the best of my ability. And so I try to do things that are easy on me, So I think as a coach, sometimes we worry so much about what our kids can learn and what they can do. But really it's, man, what do you understand? What do you get? And that's going to make you the best teacher, right? If you're teaching a subject that you're, let's say, a U.S. history guy, and then you got to teach world history, and it's like, man, I didn't take that class, and now you're looking, you're studying, and you're trying, right? But you're much better at U.S. history. Well, it was the same thing for me, man. I was a quarterback. I liked shotgun. I liked going no huddle. And so, man, I just kind of took a chance at it, and I thought, because it was fun for me. And then if it's fun, you understand it, you're going to be a better teacher with right. it. And then you're going to get your kids. If you're a great teacher at something, I think your kids believe they want to learn. They want to be great. They'll learn. And it doesn't matter what you call it. Like you call it Route 327. You could also call it, you know, bulls. Mm-hmm. Those kids, it doesn't matter. That doesn't mean anything to them. It's just memorization. But you know what makes sense to, in my mind, me? And I think that's the key, because I think it makes me a better teacher. Instead of so many people worrying, man, I just don't know if these kids will get this. I just, if I teach it this way, I just don't think they're smart enough, or I just don't, maybe I'm doing too much, you know. And there's definitely some of that weekly,
yeah,
where I got to say, oh man, I got to pull back, you know, this is too much. Or man, like that Canada stuff, you know, in 18, when we tried it, I kind of thought, I was kind of 50-50. I thought, this probably isn't going to work, but man, it's not a bad idea. We'll try it. Kid had an idea. And you know what? It surprised me, and we're still doing it to this day. And so, you know, it's funny just the things that you try and think, but the things I have confidence that I enjoy and that I know, I teach the best. And usually that's what works best.
You said something, I think another conversation we had when you were talking about quarterback play, and you said that young man has to see things exactly the way that I do, because I'm essentially playing the quarterback position from the sideline. And I went back and I thought about that. I'm like, that all starts with teaching. That all starts with the cognition and the understanding that you're teaching something at a level and an ability that kid is going to fully understand. I mean, there's so many times where maybe, I don't know about you, but like where I'm on the sideline, you're like, well, what did he see? What was he looking at? You know? And how do you get that alignment with so many players consistently?
Yeah, we could talk probably for an hour about that, but we don't really come back. Honestly, it comes back to what I just kind of said, man. If I understand it and I could teach it.
Yeah.
Now each kid, I know what he could take and what he can't. Okay. And I just heard Tom Brady, and I think Steve Young had a great podcast, and I agree with a lot with what Tom said. You know, quarterbacks today, I think, especially at the high, and he was talking NFL highest level, they don't truly know. You know, you go fast, you do all these things, and it sometimes takes away from them checking and learning. And I totally agree with that. But the part I don't is, we might have 2 or 3 years. Our kids are never going to get to that point, right? A lot of times they're not going to be able to, oh, there's cover 2, there's 4, they're rolling down to 3. I better check out of this play, right? If you're hoping on doing that, you better not put much in, and you're trusting a 17-year-old kid. Mm-hmm. Where with what we do, kind of, it's, man, can I get that kid to think fast, think on the same level I am, and be able to go fast and have answers to questions that I need him to have answers to? And I know that doesn't, it's a little bit different, but I can't ask that kid to go out there, make those checks, do all those things right before the snap count, you know? And so by us being the aggressor going fast, we can kind of now dictate things, dictate the pace, dictate things, and we're good at what we do. Mm-hmm. That kid now can think like me. It just takes time for that mm-hmm. quarterback to get on the same page, and it takes a lot of reps. In the end, it's a lot of reps. It's a lot of 7-on-7. It's a lot of practice of, man, that's wrong. But it's also, man, it's how much can you do but not do too much, which is always the big question, right? Do I have way too many schemes? Right. Am I a high low guy? Am I a progression guy? Am I, you know, is he reading 1, 2, 3? What is he doing? And does he understand that? And can he explain it to me? And I think that's tough, and kind of just finding who you are and what you believe. But in the end, it's, man, do you understand it as a coach? Can you teach it? Mm-hmm. Can you two get on the same page of, and I'll say this, going fast does make it a little bit tougher. Because he has to now think, right? He's just taking that test on a much faster time.
Yeah.
And so now he's got to pass that test quicker.
Yeah.
But I also think it eliminates fear when you go fast. I think it eliminates, you know, it's third and long and you're in the huddle and you're thinking, oh boy, this ain't going to work. Right. You know, and here comes this defense where this is trouble. Where, man, sometimes my guys don't even think. We line up fast, third and long, and all he knows is what I've taught him. And sometimes that eliminates fear and helps too. So,
oh, without a doubt, especially for a young mind. I think some people might be listening and being like, well, how does this relate to building a culture operating system within a program? And I think what I would go back to, and this isn't a question more as an observation, is that everything you do as a head coach, you have to be able to teach, and you have to be able to teach it really, really well, whether it's your offense or whether it's trying to build, you know, behaviors in your players and try to get the belief systems put in, dealing with your staff. Everything we have to do as head coaches has to be very intentful, and we've got to be able to not only teach it, but do it clearly, concisely, and then be able to have answers for when things aren't going right. And I think that's probably the biggest thing I'm taking out of this as I'm trying to, you know, as I'm listening from like an XO standpoint to like, how does that transfer to what we do as coaches? Because I really do think it's applicable on both sides. I guess one of my follow-up questions for you guys, and I remember texting you during the season this year, midway through the year, and I was, you know, I think it was week 7, and I'm always looking to, like, sometimes as a head coach, I feel like there's a fatigue factor with kids in general that, you know, not everybody has the long vision in mind, where it's week 7 and there's probably some kids on your roster who are like, oh, we only got a couple of weeks left. I asked you, how do you get your kids to always see through the finish line, and the finish line being the state championship? And can you elaborate on how you get the kids to have that long scope every single year?
Yeah. And that, hey, that's, I'm telling you, I have that same problem with some kids, especially the kids that, hey, don't play the JV kids. Right. And that is a man, that is tough. And always how I try to treat the year is we'll usually get to week 6, 7, something like that, and kind of make that the midpoint of the year. Sometimes give a day off. Maybe we play a team that's not as good, or maybe we're going to play a team we know we're going to get killed by anyways. We all have games like that, right? But finding that midpoint, almost giving them a breather, talking about that being the midpoint. And that midpoint really is, okay, if it's week 6 or 7, hey, that means 14, 12, right, which is the state championship. And so we really think in that pattern of not so much it being week 4 or 5 of a 10-week or a 9-week season, but 7-week and 14, and just how they – and I think there are times to give some days off and loosen up the reins a little bit. And especially in that middle part where things do become a grind. And I don't care if you're winning or losing. Mm-hmm. There's times in that middle, we've all been there, you know, at that, whether it's real hot, it's 5 o'clock. You're like, gosh, I got to get home. This is awful. And you know, if you're thinking it, the kids are thinking it. And
they were thinking it about an hour before you were thinking it.
Yes. And so it's so natural. And so just finding ways as a coach or doing fun things kind of in that middle and all the time. Right. And I'll be honest, there's games where, man, we know we're going to win. Mm-hmm. Right. Or like I said, there's games, you know, you're going to lose, and we'll do different things those weeks. Right. We'll kind of take a different approach. And sometimes it's as easy as giving a day off or going light or, man, getting ice cream at practice or something silly, you know. And it's amazing what sometimes what those things do for a kid's psyche and how they think about things. And because I always use this as an example, I said, hey, when you're dealing with 15, 16, 17, and let alone coaches and assistant coaches, right? I remember when my dad would say, oh, we're going to do this old Cyclone Mile, it was, right? You had to run a mile in a certain time. It ruined my whole practice. It didn't matter what we did, what practice did. All I was thinking about is I so do not want to run that. And I always tell our coaches that was one thing I never, you know, now I think I'm a genius because that, you know, now you kind of got this feed the cats thing with no one conditions afterwards. And I've been doing that for 19 years. And part of it is because of the no huddle, you know, and it was like, man, we're going to practice hard during thing. But I always thought, man, the kids, I just hated that. And so But I use that in that, man, these kids, the little things, man, whether school's tough, girlfriend dumped them, man, it's a grind. We were getting beat up. I mean, those kids, it's natural, and it doesn't matter if you're winning or losing. And how do you break it up as a coach? And you kind of got to be able to read the room a little bit and change things up and do things differently, right? They're high school kids and they're not college kids. College, hey, I get it. You know, it's a business. And even there, I would do some fun things, but these are high school kids with daily lives of struggle sometime. And so you gotta, you know, but man, how the big thing, like you, to get back to your question a little bit, I'm rambling, but
that's great.
Kind of that 14 week, right? Yeah. We kind of look at everything as a 14, 13 week system. And so that middle point, usually, hey, week 7, week 6, somewhere in there. So
I think it's great. I mean, I'm just kind of listening to it and you don't really understand how long that is until you actually go through it. And it did change my perspective as a head football coach when we were fortunate enough to get to a state championship and get to that 14th week. And the every year after that, you kind of look at that season differently because it pushes those goalposts back, so to speak, where it is only halfway through. And I remember after you sent me that same message, it's the halfway point. And we talked to our kids about that and have the endurance, have that commitment to see this thing through. Don't be wishing time away because eventually it's going to be taken away from us regardless, whether it's the state championship and we win or it's we don't make it. You know, I think for a lot of coaches, maybe starting out or even if they're in the kind of in the middle, it does change your lens and getting the kids to change their lens is really, really important. It goes back to that whole mindset type of deal. Coach, I got two questions left for you because I appreciate the time you've lent. It's been absolutely amazing. What is harder, building success or sustaining it, and why?
Yeah. And I thought about this one today and I thought hard and I didn't think I didn't have to think too long, to be honest. It is definitely harder to build. I think as so many people listening to this will know, and a lot of times it doesn't end good, right? Unfortunately, we are in a business and I don't care if it's high school, where you do have to win, right? And that's unfortunate because, like I said, there's a lot of great coaches that struggle, who never get it off the ground sometimes. And why? Because maybe they didn't have the talent. But so many things have to go right to build it. Now, some of us get to get into jobs where, man, the players are already there. You already have good players. Maybe you followed a successful coach, which sometimes is also hard, right? Because you followed a legend. Yeah. But building that thing, I remember, and I try to think, man, 19 years ago, man, I was dumb enough not to know what I was doing. And it was kind of a good thing because it was hard. And so many things had to go right to get me where I am today, right? So many things had to go right. Number one, we had talented kids. It was the right type of kids. The community ended up kind of following. I got lucky and got some of the greatest coaches that are still some of my best friends and people that, you know, are still on my staff today, and the continuity of that and just all those things to get that all going and to build something, I think, is tough. So people who have done that, man, it is at that, you truly are at the toughest place now. So, hey, to win a championship, obviously it's tough, right? You got to get through certain teams, certain elements, certain things. But once you get there, it's kind of like we said, I was stunned how and easy is not the right word, but how kids just want to win now. And I will say this, I think there's something, and you're in a town and obviously you guys are growing big, but man, Rochester is a small town and there's something to that small community, the kids growing up playing football together. They all love each other. You know, it was this group this year, man, we had one kid sign yesterday. But man, they just all loved each other, played hard. They, you know, and there's something to that community and them not wanting to fail each other, them not wanting to let down the town. And I think every place is like that. I don't care if you're in the inner city Chicago or you're out in a small town. I don't think that matters. It's once you get there, now, hey, you're going to have some ups and downs. I've been blessed. You know, we've been on a heck of a run. And I think some of it is lucky. But I think it is hard for the people who have done that. I mean, you should be proud of yourselves because that's not in today's world. That's not an easy job to get up to that point, to build that program where you want it and then sustaining it. It is hard, but I just think building it's so many more things have to go right.
Well, I don't think it's luck. I think you're unbelievably talented and I appreciate your time. I know your staff is fantastic as well. I talked to your defensive coordinator. I'm probably going to be talking with him off the podcast in the next week or two because he does amazing things as well. Last question for you. What advice might you have for anybody who's a new head coach or aspiring head coach, or maybe somebody who's just kind of caught in the middle of their journey right now?
Ooh, yeah. You know, there's so many things. No, it doesn't matter what you are. Be the best, whether you're an assistant coach, whether you're striving to be a head coach. You know, the best people, I got so lucky to follow my father, right? He was, and that doesn't mean he didn't sin and didn't mess up, but, you know, he truly walked his walk and talked his talk. Whatever you are, who you are, you be, you know what I mean? You got a lot of kids to be around. You don't have to BS. You don't have to lie. And things you don't know, go try to figure them out. Work as hard as you can to be the best coach you can be. Hey, if you're a receiver coach, be the best receiver coach. Don't worry about calling plays. Don't worry about being a head coach in the future. That stuff will take care of itself if you're the best receiver coach you can be. You know what I mean? If you're the freshman coach, if you're be the best you can be at that. And don't be afraid as a head coach to surround yourself with people that are smarter than you. And what I mean by that is I don't want to do defense. I don't know. Yes, I could draw you up a 4-3. I could draw up you 3-4. I could tell you a lot of stuff. But I cannot coach and do what you, Coach Beaker, what you guys do, right? And so I got blessed enough to put someone around me and hire him, and he is great at what he does. And I let him do it. I let your coaches coach. Yeah. Number one, they don't make enough not to do that. And so, man, I'm not going to micromanage, and I'm not going to have my thumb on them all the time because, man, I want to let them do what. But so many of us are scared to surround people that know more than us, right? It almost makes us feel inferior, like, man, I'm not respected and I'm not this and that. And I learned that from my dad. Man, you got to put people around you that are good at what you're not good at, but also, man, smarter than you in some of those subjects, obviously, right? Yep. Same thing with special teams, man. Don't, you know, I got a great special team coach. I don't love special teams. I don't want to deal with special teams. Now, hey, I'm the final say on some of those things. Sure. On a Sunday. I'll come in, but you know what I mean? It's just, yeah, man, let those, as a head coach, man, let those guys coach. Don't be afraid to, and it's going to make your life a lot less stressful. If you're doing all three, you're doing none of it great. You're doing some of it probably pretty good, but probably none of it's great because you're having to do all three. Where I can concentrate on offense, do what I love, be the head coach, and I trust my guys doing what they do. Same thing with assistants, man. Do whatever position you coach. Coach at the best of your ability. Be the best person, human you could be. You know, don't BS the kids. And if you don't know something, go find it out. Don't lie to them because they read through that quick. And so I think as a coach, that's a lot of what I've learned, and mainly from my father, but also over the 19 years is, man, there's – I love assistant coaches that, man, just put their head down and do what I tell them, and not like just, you know, in a stupid way, but, man, they just, man, my freshman coach, who was my coach, who I still call him Coach Smith. I mean, he'll go out there and he's not ashamed to go put cones on the field to do, you know, little stuff that nobody wants to do.
Right.
Man, he was my coach. And like I said, I still call him Coach Smith because he was my coach. He'll go do that for me if I ask him. And so many people like, I'm not doing that. You know, they kind of have that attitude. And that's when things, you know, and so I, as a head coach, I love that, an assistant coach. And so I know that was a lot of things, but I think it's good things for both sides to look at as football coaches.
It's a great way to leave. I think there's a ton of meat on that bone for people to digest. And as like I said, as a coach who's seen what you guys do, I can attest that it's not smoke and mirrors. Like what you were saying is exactly the experience that other people are witnessing on the practice field and on the game field. And you say luck, but it is absolutely anything but luck. It is the preparation, the hard work, your ability to trust your assistants, and the belief you put into the community and those kids that is yielded a dynasty. So Coach Derek Leonard, thank you for being with us today. We'll put all of his social information as far as the Twitter and all those things. He's got some great stuff out right now on his offense. And Coach, thanks so much for spending some time with us on Culture OS.
Hey, buddy, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me, man.
Rob, another tremendous interview here, and there's always so many takeaways, but I ask you to boil it down to three. What are your winning edge takeaways for this episode?
I really appreciated the vulnerability that Coach Leonard shared with us about the journey through the first couple of years of his program. People look at the other end of the rainbow right now with the 9 state championships and think that's how it always was. And he talked about having a focus on one thing a day. You know, you cannot be a jack of all trades and a master of none. And I think as head coaches and program developers, we oftentimes have a lot of plate spinning, and we carry that on to the football field from a schematic standpoint or even a program standpoint. And his thought process of having one thing a day and getting really good at it really struck me as something unique. One of the things I really enjoyed about Coach Leonard as he went through his conversation with me was how he talked about having the scope for your players through the long season. That's one thing that personally I touched upon with him during our playoff run last year, was how do you get your kids' minds in a place of thinking 14 weeks? And he does such a great job of kind of setting that up with his players and talking about having the long vision, having the idea that week 7 is really the halfway point of the season. And so that's something that you're going to carry on for 7 more weeks. And as we know, as a coach, not everybody in there is looking to take that ride as far as it can go. So it's something that we're really excited for him to kind of dive into. And then finally, he talked about, you know, don't be afraid to surround yourself with people smarter than you. I think that's one thing that I was impressed with Derek was talking about. He really likes to focus on the offense. He has great people doing special teams. He has great people doing defense. Don't be afraid to surround yourself with people in the room who are experts at their craft. Be humble enough to take their leadership in their area of expertise and then put that into your program. Let it matriculate throughout the program. So those were some things I just felt were just kind of notebook moments for me. I've listened to it a few different times since then, and they're just great nuggets.
We continue on with Culture OS series next week with Anthony Schiffman, who's got some great experience at different levels of the game. A lot of people know him for his Hog football chat, and certainly offensive line play is near and dear to his heart, but he's a ball coach and now has the opportunity to lead a program. What can you give us as a preview of what we'll be hearing next week from Coach Schiffman?
My time spent with Tony was really unique because we've talked to a few coaches who have multiple state championships and have established programs over a decade of time. And working with Tony was something that I was excited about because he has been at the collegiate level. He's been at a few high schools, and now he's taking over at a high school that had some success. And how is he going to take his mission, vision, and purpose and put it into that program? And so the conversation lends itself to that coach who's maybe just starting out, who's looking for some ideas on how to build program buy-in, but on how to also use the tradition and legacy that was left before you, because that can be tricky sometimes. Not always as easier said than done when you have a great coach in front of you and now you're taking over that program. So Tony does a great job of articulating his plan, and I'm really excited for people to get a listen to what Tony Schiffman had to say.
Rob, you've been drawing some great insight out of these. I know we continue to look forward to what's up for the next week, so keep up the great work.
Thanks, Keith. It's always a lot of fun, and I hope people are enjoying the listen.